again, in working with his scheduler, they're prepared to do that. We were going to go discussion or presentation only, no discussion, and both of them said, let's just field questions if they're coming.
Okay.
Right.
And I think whenever Mark gets here, we would sashay to him.
Okay.
The staff's been briefed on very, very brief reports this morning.
Counselor, are you guys ready?
We are.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Call the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting to order. Anybody has any cellular phones, you could turn your devices on silent for the remainder of the meeting. And if you'd stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation,
moving along now to item number 3 on today's agenda is discussion and possible action approval of today's agenda for May the 3rd, 2016. So any public comment regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve today's agenda.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda for this date, May the 2nd. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Actually, correction.
Good.
It's May the 3rd.
What did I say?
Second.
Oh, pardon me. May the 3rd. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 4, discussion and possible action. Approval of the minutes for April the 5th of 2016. Is there any public discussion regarding those minutes? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve minutes for April 5th of 2016.
I'll second that motion.
Moving to second to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
Moving to second to approve the consent agenda for today. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Moving along now to item number 10. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment on this. We'll start out with our committee or staff reports. First up, how about a representative from Community Chest and the library, Sean Griffin? Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Commissioner. Sean Griffin, Community Chest. I want to thank everyone who came out for our spring benefit. It was a great success. Poor Man's Whiskey. It was just a wonderful show. And we even made a little money, which was the point. But more important, it was fundraising. So thank you for that. And we're going to be growing up and turning 25 on June 23rd. If we're finally out of adolescence and we reached adulthood. So I'd love to have everyone come. We're going to have a reception for the whole community. It's just bring your families and come. The location to be arranged, but it will be June 23rd, 6 to 8 p.m. Please come. Please put it on your calendars. It's been a long journey, and we're very grateful to have come this far, and we're very grateful for all the support that got us here. So just if you could put that in your planners, wherever they are, June 23rd, 6 days, it's a Thursday night. Thank you so much. Any questions?
Any questions? None? Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank
you for all the great work you and your team do for us down there. Over in our planning department, Jason Van Havel. Thank you, Jason. Our Director of Security, Melanie Keener. Thank you, Melanie. Our Mark Twain Community Center, Ron Engelbrecht. I see you're in the audience today. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ron.
Ron Engelbrecht, Mark Twain Community Center, Story County resident. Things are progressing reasonably well down there at the center. We've been having just general cleanup, fix-up, purchasing new appliances for the public to use and as need arises. We hired our first cleaning person to help, so that's our first hire. And as far as the Mark Twain Community Center, the Veterans Memorial, concrete block, masonry has all been completed. So far, we've gotten probably $3,000 to $4,000 in donations because of the workmanship and the materials so far, and the signage. So we're pleased with that effort. We have some things to do as far as beautification goes, so we'll be exercising some of the park funds and whatever we need to help beautify the area and get people out to enjoy the facilities, that kind of thing. So, if there are any questions, great.
Any questions, Mark?
No.
No, great.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for your civic leadership down there. You did a great job. Over at Community Development, Mr. Haymore. Okay. In your same department, Stacy Buchaneri, what are you doing today? Very good. The fire department, Chief Haynes?
Nothing today, thank you.
I see you brought Mr. Klinger with you today, too. Does he have anything to report?
Nothing today.
Okay, very good. Public Works Director, Mike Nevin? Because with Public Works, there's always something to report.
I'll rest assured, Ann, I'll be brief this morning in anticipating a couple of other speakers that are going to enlighten us today. Just a couple of things. Number one, within the next couple of weeks, you'll notice around Virginia City and Gold Hill, we'll be doing some work with Broadbent and Associates on some archaeological digging, and this is in anticipation of the wastewater improvement program that will start here next spring, and this is to determine what if, where if, and who if exists under the ground in certain locations here as far as the Comstock is concerned, because, of course, they're very concerned with, you know, where we disturb soils, so on and so forth. Our team will be working hand-in-hand in that effort, and that's a good thing. Instead of hiring a contractor to come up and maybe hit something that he or she may not be aware of. So if you see some backhoe activity between Virginia City and Gold Hill, probably within the next couple of weeks, we anticipate getting this done before the Memorial holiday hits, so we're off. Most city streets. Most of this work will be done either above or below C Street, so we don't anticipate too many traffic delays. There may be some traffic control needed, but we'll do one site at a time, so it should move relatively quick. We'll be in and out in probably 2 or 3 days. Just so you know, when you see us out there, what's going on. The other thing is, probably between now and the middle of June, we'll be completing the striping of the tri-roads out in the industrial park. That'll be all roads with the exception of the USA Parkway. We'll be doing Six Mile Canyon, And then probably next week we'll redo all the stop signs and bars here in town that we did last fall. The winter takes its toll on that paint, so that'll happen. The swimming pool is scheduled to open for business officially on June 12th. Seems kind of late, but they don't get out of school up here until the 9th, and then with graduation, parties, etc., that weekend, so we'll open on Sunday the 12th. And that's pretty much it for me today. So, pretty quick today, Ann.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Over at the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Mr. Chairman, nothing for me today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry about this.
Community Relations, Ms. Nevin.
Good morning, Commissioner Sharon Niven. For the record, just a reminder that this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is the residential dump days at the Virginia City Transfer Station. They'll be open from 8 to 4 those 3 days. So encourage anyone who has any items they need to dispose of to do it then. I'm also working with a couple folks in Lockwood to get the garden back up and running. I've had a couple of folks come to me very interested and willing to help volunteer their time. They went to turn on water yesterday. The meter's spinning, but we don't have any water. So they're out there today getting some lines fixed, and I think we've got a couple of good folks. One is John Miller, and we know that, you know, he's always very involved, him and Merrily, in the community. So with any luck, that'll kind of be up and running there, and some new leadership to get that thing off the ground. So.
That's good. Any questions for Sherry?
No.
Thank you, Sherry. Sheriff Jerry.
I love you.
D.A. Langer?
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis?
Nothing.
County Manager Whitten?
Very briefly, I want to thank the staff and the electeds. We ask for you to be brief. I'm kind of astounded. I'll have to do that more often. We have three, in addition to our presenters today, we have three very special guests. From our high school government class. I was able to present to them yesterday, and Joe Curtis is down there, I believe, this morning presenting. But we have Colt back again. He's a budding new politician, apparently. We have Callie here with us, and we also have Megan here as well. So if any of you have not had your sheets signed off for your time, my office is downstairs. Just go in there, and Chris or Jesse will be able to sign it off. So thank you guys for attending. Welcome. And I'm going to suggest to you, Mr. Chairman, that we flex the agenda. We'll await Congressman Amity's arrival and let him speak practically upon arrival. And retired Congressman Porter will speak immediately after that. So I may be asking you to call items out of order so we can just knock off some procedural business until the Congressman arrives. And that's it, sir.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Does Clerk have anything today, Ms. Baggis?
Nothing today.
All right. Did I miss anybody on staff? Oh, Austin, I'm sorry. Did you just sneak in? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, all I want to bring to your attention is that we're going to have our next Planning Commission workshop on the master plan on May 19th in Lockwood. We may need to move a meeting from the Senior Citizen Center to the Rainbow Bend Community Center, as I've recently come aware that there may be a large group coming in. So we'll be working on that, and we'll post that as needed. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Austin. Anything from Special Counsel Morris?
Not today.
Not today.
It's fashionably late.
That concludes staff reports.
We'll move along now to item number 11. These are board comments. Commissioner McGuffey?
Yes. About 2 weeks ago, we had a sit-down meeting with the V&T chair and the Carson City mayor and the Carson City manager. in regards to the quarter cent tax that's collected from Story County and used in the operations of the V&T. And we found that not all the money is going where it was supposed to be going. It's been this way for a long time. We just finally put a stop to it. We are now in process of writing another MOU with Carson City so that both counties are chipping in fair amounts to, especially towards the reconstruction or rebuilding of the steam trains, which runs anywhere from $250,000 to $350,000 right now as it looks. So we're in that process. This will put more money in Story County, and it also puts a little savings account away for rebuilding these trains so that we're not hit with a big $250,000 bill. So that's that. For the hometown health, I just talked to them yesterday. Your insurance cards are on their way. Should get them anytime between now and next week. Okay. And then, we had the Fraternal Order of Eagles State Convention here from Thursday through Saturday, and I want to the convention chair. I want to thank Story County for their assistance in making this year's State Convention a great success with their contribution. And I wanted to also thank Commissioner McBride for being our opening guest speaker. And I'm sorry, Mark, Congressman Amade isn't here today because I wanted to thank him as well. He was our closing ceremony speaker. And he also took home a 1910 Circa school desk that was donated by the Fourth Ward School for raffle or auction. So, for the record, thank Congressman Amade. And that's all I have.
Great. Commissioner Gilman.
I have nothing today, thank you.
A couple of things. I occasionally read the Reno newspapers for comic relief. And I like the letters to the editor probably right next to the funnies. So. And I'll just take an insert from this one gentleman who wrote, it was about 2 weeks ago, he says, Story County is the richest per capita county in the United States. Why? Because it's more pragmatic and less philosophical. It looks at what it wants to be and then quickly does what is needed to make it happen. Its modus operandi is reducing barriers to progress. In contrast, the Reno City Council debates the legality of Reno taxpayers saving pieces of their old Virginia Street Bridge. So, anyway, even the residents around Reno can see how Story County is progressing and how, as Dean always puts it, you know, we're Team Story. You know, when he meets with a potential a developer, he's got the grading permit in his back, folded up in his back pocket, ready to sign it. So, with that, some sad news to mention, the passing of longtime resident Jean Graves, married to Sue. Her name before that was Coleman, and they're the parents of Sarah Jensen, a longtime county employee, now retired, who was in the recorder's office for a long time. So, anyway, our condolences to the family for that. Okay, moving along now. Mr. Witten, where would you like to go now? You want to go to number 14?
No, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to hold off all three presentations.
Okay.
In deference and ask that we go to item 15 and then 16 if Congressman Amade hasn't arrived. Those are routine business matters.
Okay. Then item number 15 is discussion, possible action, consider approval of memorandum of understanding with the Nevada Department of Taxation and Nevada Tax Commission to authorize Story County officials to review records of Department of Taxation to determine whether there has been a proper reporting of transactions subject to sales and use taxes within Story County. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis. This was an item that was actually before you back on March 15th of this year. What had happened was that we received a memorandum of understanding that had been prepared by the Attorney General's office. They had believed that it was all set to go and had asked us, the county, to approve it. We did present it to the county. The county did approve it. It went back to the, it was scheduled for a hearing before the Nevada Tax Commission, but there were some concerns in the Department of Taxation that about the specific terms of the agreement, and so they have, we went through another round of negotiations, and District Attorney Langer and County Manager Witten went down and talked to the department and ironed out some additional language that is now included in the memorandum of understanding. And basically, the changes are that the department will provide the requested information within 45 days, and they will have a more of a review authority over the request by the county to correct issues regarding zip code identification of sales and use taxes.
So, anybody have any public comment they'd like to talk about on this?
No. 45 days seems kind of excessive, but what's the reasoning behind that?
Let me take it. They're worried. Their primary concern right now is what this could do as far as demand on staff. You know, they're like every government agency, you know, including, you know, state agencies, they have nowhere near enough people to probably do the job that they need to do. So I would answer they're trying to be as cooperative as they can. I mean, this is a huge quantum leap forward in terms of being able to audit. We haven't been able to do this in the last 15 years, to be candid. But I would also tell you we don't anticipate it'll ever take 45 days.
Right.
It just could take up to 45. And, in fact, we're going to be pretty discriminate as to what we select. There's a large racking installation going on right now that means tracking down the supplier and the contractor. We'll provide them that one about 3 months from now after we know sales and use tax should have been reported. So it's going to be on a spot basis because, quite frankly, we don't have the staff either. But we'll give them a records request. They'll pull the reports. We anticipate those literally probably within 5 days, according to the director of sales tax division, Samiko Mazur, but they just needed a provision for that much time.
And to add to what County Manager Witten said is that the 45 days is the outside. That as Mr. Witten stated, they indicated that they'd probably be able to get it to us in a lot quicker time, but we needed to have some number in the agreement itself, and so everybody agreed in the room on 45 days.
Well, the same way, this is monumental for us to get where we are.
Absolutely. And,
after being able to review these things in the future, maybe it'll give us a peace of mind on making sure that the Department of Taxation is collecting the sales and use taxes appropriately for county. It being now more important than ever since we're no longer part of the Fair Share program in the state.
And it's also, I think, a component, not the answer.
Correct.
You know, we continue through through Congressman Porter's efforts to get that zip code fixed. We're also working, I learned today, we're going to be assigning a new address to a business within a business. It's critical that we notify the U.S. Postal System that that location is in Story County, not Washoe County. So we're going to go through all this. But this is, as you said, a monumental step.
So, does anybody else have any questions regarding memorandum of understanding? Just need to be read into the record, Mr. Lewis?
Yes.
No? Okay. Looking for a motion to approve the memorandum of understanding?
I'll move to approve the motion memorandum of understanding between Story County and the Nevada Department of Taxation and the Nevada Tax Commission, allowing Story County officials to review the records of the Department of Taxation and authorize the chairman to sign.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and seconded to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Moving along now to item number 17. Excuse me, 16. consideration of possible approval of site license agreement allowing hotspot broadband, DBA, Sky Fiber Internet, to use Story County's water tank as a location on which to place a portion of Sky Fiber's wireless internet and equipment.
Mr. Chairman, Keith Loomis, this actually was kind of before you last year in about March when the county approved a license agreement for High-Speed Networks Mound House LLC to place some wireless internet equipment on the county's water tank over by Public Works. Mound House High-Speed Networks was bought out by Sky Fiber, which is the original license was assignable. It was apparently assigned. This reflects the fact that we are now going to license Sky Fiber to install its wireless equipment on the same water tower for basically the same terms as which we had allowed Mound House High-Speed Internet to place the same equipment.
Anybody have any public comment?
And as I recall, real briefly, I believe this installation, for those that choose for whatever reason, either because they're too far from the switch but cannot receive AT&T's U-verse service, this really lights up Gold Hill in its positioning, so that's why it's a critical dish.
Right. Commissioners, have any questions concerning this? Once again, any public comment on this matter? Looking for a motion to approve the site license agreement.
I'll move to approve the site license agreement between Story County and Sky Fiber, allowing Sky Fiber to place equipment on Story County water tank.
I'll second that motion.
Moving second to approve this license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Let's go ahead and backtrack. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Let's backtrack now to item number 12. This is just discussion only. And so anyway, our first guest needs no introduction, but I'm going to give him one anyway. His roots are down the hill in Carson City, where he went to school at Carson High, home of the Senators, where he played on a team that beat both Las Vegas and Clark High Schools for the state championship in 1975, with, in fact, a legendary coach from Virginia City, Tom Andreessen, who 3 years before took Virginia City High School to the state championships to win when I played here. He's a graduate of UNR and later went on to law school. He started his career doing 4 years of hard time in the U.S. Army as an Army JAG. He was then sentenced to serve in the Nevada legislature, first in the assembly for 2 years and then 12 in the state senate. Later to serve as the president of Nevada Mining Association before he procured this cushy job in Washington. He has signature legislation, Restore Story County Lands Act, that passed the Congress after a couple of tries and signed by the president. This is vital to Story County, helping to clear up some of our clouded title issues. He even introduced me to his colleagues during committee hearings as his high school nemesis. I'm not sure if there's still some angst over some sharp elbows during a basketball game about 50 years ago, or if he was just reciting the movie line from when Superman was confronted by Lex Luthor. He and his staff have always had an open door policy when it comes to Story County. And when he's not hobnobbing with the rich and famous in Washington, D.C., he regularly checks in on his little brother, Story County. So, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure in introducing our congressman representing Nevada's 2nd Congressional District, the Honorable Mark Emigan.
Okay, I'm pretty well embarrassed, Mr. Chairman. Thanks a lot. I'll see you later.
The elbows were 40 years ago, I believe, not that I'm correcting the chairman in front of his folks. If you left the part out how my own cousin who was refereeing the game kicked me out of the game and you got to, in your Fruit of the Loom boxer shorts, continue to play. I remember it as if it was yesterday, and yes, I am still bitter. thank you for that. Thank you for that introduction, and thank you for allowing Tom Andreessen to come down to low altitude to hang out for a while after he continued on the traditions up there. And we'll look forward to having a big party when they actually paint his name on the court at Carson High, and so the Muckers can kind of say you're welcome for sharing one of your folks with us. I appreciate it. Mr. Chairman, Commission members, my purpose in asking you to come before you today is to kind of give you an update on some stuff, some of it directly Story County, some of it not direct, but updates on stuff that is of concern to you. I noticed that you have my former colleague from the State Senate, the Honorable John Porter, sitting here, which I want to thank you for associating with him and also giving him a little something to do since he's kind of an orphan, and people that are nice to him are few and far between, so I'm glad to see him. For the former mayor of Boulder City, that we have hugged him warmly up here north of Tonopah. First of all, I want to go down a couple of things. I know that that we're working on another Story County lands bill with you folks, and I don't need to repeat it, but I will just so it's part of your record. We don't act as gatekeepers for lands bill purposes. If we get a resolution from a county commission saying this is what we want to do for a lands bill, then we process those. As you know, there's a little bit of time up front in terms of what are the mineral rights, what are the grazing rights, what are anything that affects any of that other sort of stuff. Although you're in kind of a unique position as the only county of the 17 in the state that actually has most of your land privately owned. Congratulations. And so it gives you a little more flexibility in terms of what you do with your tax base, and you actually have planning and zoning control over your county for the most part. So we'll look forward to continuing that process. That is a process that is driven from the bottom up. So if there are any specific questions or anything else like that, be fine to get into that more specifically. Secondly is the famous zip code issue. We have asked Pitney Bowes to do the ZIP plus 4 stuff and send it to the state. Pitney Bowes has done that. We're still waiting to hear from the state. It's our understanding, as a matter of fact, when I say waiting to hear from the state, it's my plan to ask them for a briefing on where they're at with that. While I know, however, that I think it's the position of the county that they want to pursue a zip code, which is fine. We are here to assist and advocate in any way you want. The only thing we ask to pursue that formally is when the commission gets ready to is we ask for a resolution from the commission saying we want your assistance in getting our own zip code. We've done quite a bit of the homework for that, so not a big undertaking, but we do want to make sure that when we're out there cranking away for that we are in fact representing the wishes of the county commission of the county that's concerned, which is you folks. So happy to do that. We'll keep you in the loop on what the state's doing on the ZIP plus 4. I can tell you that my view of it right now is I would still like to push the state to do it just to see what difference it makes, if any. But that in no way, shape, or form closes any doors. If it's the will of the commission, you want to pursue a zip code specifically down there, I don't think, in my mind, it's not a if, it's a when. So when you guys say when, we're with you. Natural gas pipeline. We're happy to cajole, lean on, gripe, see if we can find a lever in other ways to encourage any natural gas providers from either side of the county to come up here. As a matter of fact, I think we have a request right now for me to go harass Ms. Gallo from Southwest Gas to you know, keep it on kind of a high level. It's like, why do you hate Story County? So we'll be Mutt so that you guys can be Jeff. Fully support you on that. If you've got any updates, then we'd be happy to do it.
meeting with the Carson City BLM district office at the end of this month. One of the items that we want a full briefing on is where we at on the conveyance of the stuff for Comstock Mining, a lot 51 and associated things with that. So we'll report back to you. Last time we talked to them, which was about a month ago, it was like, no, we fully support it. We have some concerns as to whether it's fully support with a capital F and a capital S, or whether it's a small F and a small S. So obviously we know that where we want to end up is want your full support, no surprises, done quickest, so that if you get some sort of protest or litigation, that you fully defend what was your Carson City BLM's position on the thing. Anybody want to talk about wild horses? Okay, moving right along. I won't move right along. I will tell you that the in the 53 months that I've been in this job, wild horses has been kind of around the radar screen, but never at the top or the center because there's been other things going on. The fact that BLM has sent letters to people who hold allotments in southeast Elko County telling them that they will not be able to do their turnouts this year, not because of drought, but because the AML for the wild horse population is about three times what it's supposed to be for that range's capacity to carry. And so you can't turn the cows out on your allotments, which you've applied for, been approved for, and have paid for, because there's no fee. Hats off to the BLM folks for saying, hey, this is why. It's not because we didn't get any rain. It's because, quite frankly, all the feed's gone, and so you can't put more pressure on the range. The effect that will have, and by the way, there are station implications to that also. For those of you that follow the Fish and Wildlife Service on a regular basis, they regularly tout how on the Sheldon National Wildlife Refuge up in northern Washoe County, it goes a little bit into Oregon, how they don't allow any cows on it, and they don't allow any horses on it, because they think that's the best thing for what they're managing up there, and one of the things they're managing for is sage-hen. By the way, I refer to it as sage-hen. That's kind of what I grew up knowing. I know the people east of Denver call it sage-grouse, but I'll just tell you, it's not Nevada, and we don't have sage-grouse. It's Nevada, and they're sage-hen, or if you're in a hurry, chickens. The Fish and Wildlife Service regularly touts the fact that they think that cows and horses are the absolute antithesis for proper habitat for sage-hen. So we've got kind of a perfect storm brewing out there when you say, you know, we want to manage cattle, we want to manage sheep, we want to manage mining, we want to manage energy, we want to manage recreation, and you ignore the fact that there are wild horse herds that are double and triple the annual management units that are supposed to be on there, just the same as if it were cows or sheep. That's not a responsible thing for the resource. So you're going to see the wild horse discussion heat up. I don't think that's going to result in allowing them to go to slaughter or opening slaughter plants in the U.S., but a pretty comprehensive discussion, I think, is going to ensue for the rest of this year. And I will tell you that as far as where I'm at, I can tell you that I don't know the solution, but I do know that the status quo is unacceptable. If you're a resource person, it is my belief that the status quo is unacceptable because we have horse herds that are in trouble in terms of what they eat, water, drought, the whole nine yards. You're affecting the agribusiness industry, the range agriculture industry. You're affecting sage-hen, if you care about that. You're affecting all sorts of things across, and it's time to start looking at the areas where things have worked as opposed to the status quo. We're spending about $67 million a year feeding horses in Iowa and places like that where they're penned, and quite frankly, nobody's a horse hater or anything else like that, but the quality of life for those animals in those pens is something that you need to see the pictures, or better yet, visit the place and form your own opinions. But it is not, with all due respect to former or maybe current resident Lacey J. Dalton. It is not letting them run in Iowa. It's kind of like the old folks' home. It's a it's an assisted living facility for horses, which I don't think is a wonderful thing. The last thing I have before you guys get to play stump the guy from Carson is an update on I-11. The I-11 discussion, as you know, it's under construction between Phoenix and Las Vegas. And MDOT has preliminarily indicated a right-of-way that does not go up the Utah-Nevada line. It kind of follows 95 in a broad swath to allow for a lot of wiggle room at certain points if that's what turns out to be the will of the MDOT and folks in Nevada. I want to go back to bidding to say the idea of I-11 was to provide a Mexico to Canada interstate that is not in California on the coast or not over farther east. It was kind of like going up the Great Basin, sort of the central west, to provide that north-south arterial. And so when we talk about what happens in Nevada, there is a common thought that, hey, I want the interstate to go through my town because that's a good thing. It's a economic development. It's this, that, and the other. And it's like, okay, get that. I think that the construction to Las Vegas from the south will be done. It's scheduled. I shouldn't say it will be done. But the schedule right now talks about 2018, I believe it is. So the question then becomes, so how do you get around Las Vegas or through Las Vegas, which is an issue that I don't think is going to happen lickety-split, but it will eventually happen. And then it's like, where does it go when it heads north out of Las Vegas? The reason that I have started discussing this about a year ago is because of a belief that the Republicans and the Democrats in the House have for years talked about Yucca Mountain on the floor. If you go to congressionalrecord.com and Google nuclear waste or Yucca, you'll see how often somebody goes to the floor under 1 minute time or 5 minute time and talks about blah, blah, blah. And we need to do it, and here's where we're, and all the other sort of stuff. It is my belief, credit where credit's due, Senator Reid has done a great job of shutting that stuff down. But it is my belief that the discussion will start anew upon his retirement. And when it starts anew, it is my belief, at least in the House amongst my colleagues, that it is still pretty much a 49-1 proposition, which means that especially those states high in population that have a large segment of nuclear energy in their portfolio do not want to continue storing their spent nuclear waste in facilities that are in proximity to large urban areas. So with that said, if the process starts up again, I have shared with the subcommittee chairman, Mr. Shimkus, from Illinois, a little bit of nuclear power there. You'll see his name if you go to Congressional Record and Google that stuff. And also Mr. Upton from Michigan, who's the committee chair of Commerce and, anyhow, there's two somethings in the committee.
Energy and Commerce,
that's right. The kind of what we're talking about, the energy part. So anyhow, what I have said is nobody in Nevada wants a nuclear landfill. So if all you offer us is a nuclear landfill, then I'm a no. And we don't want you to offer us money because it's not like, how much does it cost to go on a date with you or something like that. If you want to do something meaningful, then let's talk about making sure that it's not a nuclear landfill. You may or may not know, there's already research being done at UNLV on converting spent, reclaiming spent nuclear waste so that they can be reutilized in other things, turn it into a commodity instead of waste. So it's like, hey, we need to see what's your proposal for ramping that up, bringing it up to date with the French or surpassing the French so that this now becomes a commodity instead of something that we're just going to go to put down there and bury and cross our fingers for people long after we're here. Second part is economic development. The state doesn't need a handout. We just, you want to help us with economic development, north and south? Come up with something that helps out the folks up in western Nevada as well as the folks in southern Nevada so that we can continue to build and diversify our economies. The third piece is for the oversight of it. It's like we have an outfit here that's north and south affiliated with the university system called the Desert Research Institute. We're not supposed to do earmarks, but I think we can get around that. They have excellent reputation. They're straight shooters. Those are the folks who need to do the oversight in terms of, are you doing what you're supposed to do? Is any of this stuff getting away? Blah, 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 that sort of thing. And then the fourth piece, and not that this is all set in stone, but this reflects the discussions that I've had with John Shimkus and his subcommittee staff is, right now the title to Yucca Mountain is in the Bureau of Land Management. And so if you actually open it, it needs to be moved to the Department of Energy. And so what that requires is a land transfer. Land transfer. Magic words. So you say, well, that's interesting, because the fourth piece we want to talk to you about, for sure, although there may be others, is what other land transfers can we do in the state of Nevada if you guys are moving forward with this? Because you're going to have to transfer that. And by the way, transfers in other states kind of gets us around the earmark rule. So when we talk about what do you do in Nevada, one of the things is, and you say, why are you telling me all this Yucca Mountain stuff for I-11? If Yucca Mountain comes up, we have said we want you to transfer the right-of-way for I-11 from north of Las Vegas to the Idaho border. I didn't say Oregon border, so note that. Idaho border. As part of this, even though construction may be decades away, it allows things like county commissions and city councils and investors to take a look at where that's going to be. It will drive some economic activity along that route, but it will also allow NDOT to do their planning, counties to do their planning, all those sorts of things, so that we can be out in front of something instead of trying to catch up with it for a change. So the answer to why is anybody talking about I-11 in the north, it may not be for years or decades. It's like, that's true, and it may not be. But if there's a chance to transfer that right away and set that for purposes of what we're going to do planning-wise in Nevada, then we're going to ask them to do that. So then you say, well, where the heck are you talking about? Right now, the folks in Mineral County obviously want the freeway to come through Hawthorne. Love it. Talk with the Army people, all that sort of stuff. The problem is when you talk about taking 95 around the west side of Walker Lake, there are some issues there that, quite frankly, are significant issues which deal with cultural resources in terms of petroglyphs on the rock, fishing ground for all the Native American culture stuff, fish traps, tufa, cliffs, the whole nine yards, where it's like, hey, that's pretty complex stuff to go through and do the right way in terms of cost per mile. And then you get to the Shurs Indian Reservation. And guess what? Those folks have every right to say, well, here's what the deal is we want. And you say, well, what about going around the east side of the lake? You still have those same issues, maybe not the topographical issues, but cultural resource issues, and you go across the reservation. Either way, it looks like it's going to go through Fallon. And you say, well, why Fallon? You see, well, because Fallon's got that road that they call the Reno Highway that goes to Fernley that hooks you up with Interstate 80. And it's also got that road to the right that they call the Lovelock Highway, where if you're really a north-south person, you get on Interstate 80, go to Winnemucca, and then go up whatever to Idaho. And so while we're talking about the Nevada route, you say, well, where's it going to go? And I briefed the Washoe County Commission and said, you know, if you're really trying to go north to south, it doesn't make a lot of sense to bring it into Reno. We either go over the hill and get on I-5 so you don't have a new north-south route, or good luck getting 395 made into a freeway through Modoc National Forest and then into Oregon or whatever. And by the way, let's go back to Idaho for a minute. Those people in that B-town that I love to hate because they always beat UNR, the Boise folks, no disrespect to Twin Falls, but I think in the Idaho sweepstakes, if Boise wants it to come through Boise, it's going to come there. And so you say, how do you get through Nevada in some sort of proximity to where it's going to go in Idaho? And so that's what we're talking about at the moment, is a route that quite frankly, NDOT's looking at the Tonopah Poline Road. I talked with Congressman Hardy. He thinks maybe in order to get around Las Vegas, you go kind of north up towards Apex, and then you go across on the extraterrestrial highway. You end up at Tonopah either way. But when you get from Tonopah to Fallon, quite frankly, I think the Walker Lake Basin is a problem in terms of cost and cultural resources. The Poline Road goes just east of there. The federal government owns it all. Preliminary indications are minimum of environmental issues, cultural resource issues. Not sure how the folks in Gabs will feel about that. That might be a little different than what they're used to. But anyhow, you come out on Highway 50 at Middlegate, Highway 50 at Middlegate, and you go into Fallon, and then you get the wishbone effect. We'll see how that goes. It's still in the preliminary stages. May all be just exercise talk right now. But in an informational sense, if the Yucca thing starts to move, which requires a federal land transfer, and we're still involved in the process, it is our plan to ask for as much of that sort of housekeeping stuff as possible, and the I-11 right away is one of those things. If it doesn't start to move, then, you know, it's like, well, put it on the shelf until it comes around again for the next lap. But with that, that's kind of the high points that I have. And by the way, that doesn't mean, for instance, for Hawthorne or whatever, that it's like, hey, if you want to do a spur that goes from Petrified Summit, you know, where Looney is, it's like 15 miles south of town, you want to do something in there, but the depot there is not a distribution depot. They do D-mill, they do other sort of stuff, but they don't bring stuff in there to then redistribute like they did in the old days when the train blew up in Roseville with all the bombs headed for Vietnam. Not a distribution depot. So that's kind of an important thing in terms of do they need interstate infrastructure in order to accomplish their mission. Now, how that plays out in terms of the Fallon piece, in terms of development in Story County and the River District and things like that, is USA Parkway being done and all that is something that we're open to suggestion on in terms of what makes sense from a county planning viewpoint or anything like that. But preliminarily, that's kind of where we're at with it. So with that, Mr. Chairman, any questions, clarification, personal attacks? I want the Attorney General or the District Attorney to know that I had a discussion with the Sheriff, and I've been up to the Comstock for the last two weekends. Once was with Commissioner Gilman, and the last was with the Chairman and also your other member, and I haven't broken anything. I have not evaded arrest or anything else like that, so it's been two pretty successful trips.
That we know of.
I'm thinking on the third one, come up and do some shopping, huh?
That we know of.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a key print.
I always like to tell people the story about when Mr. Buccaneri was the district attorney many years ago, and somebody asked him a question about the plea bargaining policy, and he says, we have a plea bargaining policy in Story County, and if you're charged with a crime in Story County and you don't plead guilty, we dismiss the charges. And it's like, well, it's a good story, but I think we've evolved a little bit beyond that. God bless Virgil. Nobody leave the room and tell him I was bad-mouthing him. I noticed his ad in the program the other night. But anyhow, with that, Mr. Chairman, fire away.
Thank you, Congressman. I don't know. Are you willing to take some questions from the audience?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The rules are there, aren't they?
All right. Any members of the audience, if you'd like to ask the Congressman a question, if you'd step up to the podium and identify yourself for the record so the clerk can get it down, and I'm sure the Congressman will do the best of his abilities to go ahead and set you straight.
Listen, I can tell you, I mean, don't be bashful, but it's probably a county commission problem, and so let me just refer you to them.
Ms. Bart.
Yes, ma'am.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. Lacey J. Dalton is still a resident.
Good.
But regarding the upcoming issue of the horses coming front and center, or at least somewhere on the radar, when those discussions on framing the issue and trying to address the issue start to come back up with vigor, will the horse advocacy groups have the opportunity mentally to sit in on or participate in some of those discussions to come up with a solution and a viable solution that meets, you know, the needs of
right,
all sides?
Right, right. Good question. I can tell you what we're going to do at CD2 as long as I'm the guy. If it comes up to front and center, we're going to have a couple of town halls that will be wild horse town halls. We'll probably have one somewhere kind of east on Interstate 80 and then one in this neighborhood. For the purpose of the rules will be, so tell us what you think, what are the ideas, whatever the heck. The other thing that we're going to ask is for the Natural Resources Committee, chaired by Rob Bishop from Utah, actually has the northern part of the state, Ogden and kind of over towards Wendover and that sort of stuff, to have a field hearing on it in Nevada. Now, the Wyoming folks have, I think, the number two population for horses and burros. But so I can tell you that whether they say yes or no at the committee level, we will still have at least two town halls to go, okay, where are we at? What do we think's working? What's not? You know, there's some, I don't know what the right word for it is. There's some fertility discussions. There's some discussions of using some of the permit holders as part of the deal, where actually there's been some successes in terms of having some of the ranch, folks who run the ranch, who kind of know it better because they're out there all the day running, like having them manage it with BLM supervision in certain allotments. So in my mind, everything's on the table in terms of what do we do to move it off the status quo, something that makes some sense. And I don't think the issue will ever be without controversy. I mean, it just is. And I'm not blaming anybody for that or lamenting it. But it's knowing that, it's like we still need to talk about it, see where our options are after we've been doing this for about 20 years.
Okay, just a clarifying question.
Yes.
So is it all range animals, including cows, or is this a horse issue that is going to be addressed? Is it the allocation of the range? What is...
Good question. I think in view of what the federal government's doing with the sage hen stuff, that it's probably going to be everything. I mean, I certainly wouldn't say if you're talking about sheep, you can't talk here. When you talk about what the range can carry and the new reality of sage hen management, I mean, I don't think you can talk about it without talking about what the goal is for restoration and rejoinder of sage hen habitat. And so that covers, I mean, we've burned in the last 20 years in Nevada between 6 and 7 million acres. Not blaming it, I'm just saying, I don't care whether you think you're a resource person or not, you can't burn that much ground, even in Nevada, and say we don't have a problem. We have a resource problem. So when we talk about horses, I don't think you can talk about any of them in a vacuum. I mean, anything that's on the range, from wildlife to cows to sheep to horses, I think you got to roll that whole thing in. Because I'll be honest with you, one of my complaints about the sage hen thing right now is they've said, okay, here's what we're going to do on cows, here's what we're going to do on recreation, here's what we're doing on sheep, here's what we're doing on mines, and they've acted like horses don't exist. And it's like, you have to act like horses exist because they're one of the major players on the resource. So my answer to your question is, at least for our review of it, to go interact with my colleagues, as long as I have the responsibility of doing that, is we want to speak globally. So we will gather information globally.
Okay, one last question.
Yes.
Which agency is the point agency for all of this activity and the conversation?
Well,
BLM is it?
BLM is the primary jurisdiction agency.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Because they're the landowner.
All right.
If they were on Forest Service ground, but the majority of them are on BLM ground throughout the West, so they're kind of the point.
All right, thank you.
Yep. I got to add one more thing, though, since you're talking about horses. We had the BLM's National Wild Horse and Burro Team come in for a briefing in the office a while back. Nice people, but they come in, and there was a few of them, so we used a conference room down the hall, and they come walking in, and they're kind of, you know, and I go, I've told Neil Cornsey, I go, you know what? I says, I think when you work for the Bureau of Land Management and you mess something up or you make somebody mad, they don't get rid of you. They assign you to the National Wild Horse and Burro Program. And I mean that jokingly, but it's an issue that quite frankly deserves to be. And let me make sure, I want to let you know, Congress has not helped it with some of the stuff that they've done, which addresses part of the problem and says, okay, no slaughter. Okay. But you can't just say no slaughter and then go, okay, the issue's done. It's not. You have to think of other ways. If you're taking that off the table, then you have to go, okay, so what are we going to do with the resource? I'll look forward to a nice, sedate, nobody has any strong feelings, town hall of wild horses at both ends of the state. Sheriff, maybe you can come along as an undercover guy in some of those or something like that. Oh, he's busy texting the traffic units, telling him if he goes through Gold Hill, make sure to get him this time.
Look at him. He's not even paying attention. Hit him.
What else?
Go ahead, Pat.
Not a question, Congressman. Just thank you. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for making the resources of your great team, both locally and in Washington, D.C., available to us. Jason's been phenomenal on the public lands.
Yeah.
Stephanie has been our hero on the postal issues. We have gotten more done in your tenure in Washington, D.C., than I think we've accomplished in the history of Story County. So thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate that, Pat. We see it as a service business, and I'm, as the old guy, they don't call me that to my face, but it's kind of neat harassing these young people with all their little things and this and that and moving into that. So, you know, Jason's from Alaska. Stephanie's a Reno girl, Carson in Reno. And Kyle Thomas, who's our I-11 guy, is from Virginia. But we're slowly turning them all into born-again Nevadans. And I've got my district director, Stacy Parabek, here, who's Stacy LaGarza Parabek. So when we talk about that horse thing, she doesn't really care about the cows, but you need to keep an eye on her on the sheep thing. She's kind of a frustrated sheep herder, so we'll keep an eye on her. But anyhow, I'm blessed in that I've got some great young people who are tolerant enough to work with an old guy, and that's what we're trying to do is make it a service-oriented thing. So appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. And I also want to point out, I'm going to ask them to stand. We have three of Nevada's future political leaders with us today.
All right.
They're doing penance from Mr. Shopshire's government affairs class. What's your? Yeah, why don't you, Callie, Colt, and Megan, why don't you please come up? But these are for Mr. Shopshire's government class.
We want to ruin their reputation. Have a picture with me. That's fine. You kids were doing good till this hits the airwaves.
Did you fix that?
I hope so.
Come on up.
He doesn't
bite. Yeah,
go ahead.
Don't anybody start crying in the picture, okay? You'll never look better than when you're in a picture with me.
Two of these might be Hesses.
One girl on each side. There you go. Come on, get in close here. We're going to ruin your reputation. We want to do it the first time.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Hurry up, too. Us old guys aren't going to last much longer.
So
you're going to be on duty sooner than you think.
Anyone else in the audience have any questions for the congressman? It's your chance.
I've got one.
Go ahead, Jack.
Congressman, thanks again for being our guest surprise speaker at the Eagles Convention Saturday night. That was great. Hope you enjoy your desk, your school desk.
I want to thank you. You know, I've been trying to figure out for years how to steal a desk out of the Fourth Ward School. And the ability to actually buy one and get a receipt for it was unexpected. I was looking at it this morning before I left. I didn't fondle it, but I was looking at it fondly. So. Anyhow.
It's a great desk.
Yep.
I do have a question. The monuments bill, the president's monuments bill, you know, I'm on the NACO board, and NACO board has written a letter in response to an issue that happened in Lincoln and Nye County, whereas the president just walked in and signed a piece of paper and made a monument out of property that was income property for the county. So they're very poor counties.
Yeah.
And then they just took away a potential income from grazing, from mining. You know, it has, I think, hot springs on it, so there's some dollar value there, but now they can't touch it. And I was wondering if you have been in the loop on that at all.
Well, there was a couple pieces of legislation introduced in the House, and let me tell you what, the monument issue, in my mind, is a process issue. It's like, hey, if this sculpture that was out there, or the Basin and Range resource, or whatever, those are all great things to talk about. But the process problem is, and listen, it would be a process problem if George Bush had done it or Ronald Reagan had done it. So I'm not trying to pick on this administration, but I am saying when you wake up one morning with absolutely no coordination with state or local people, that's no process. And so, I mean, I understand some of it because it's 700,000 acres. It's like, well, why did it need to be 700,000 acres? You remember the scene in Patton where Patton's talking to Carl Malden, who played General Bradley, and he's saying, hey, you got to slow down or something like that. And Malden looks at him and goes, I can read a map, George. Well, you say, why did it need to be 700,000 acres? It's like, with all due respect to Senator Reid, he wanted to try to cut off rail access to Yucca Mountain. I mean, let's say what it is. Not that there's an acre out there that isn't special, but it's like this became one of the tools for cutting off access to Yucca Mountain. Now, the sad part of that is that if the Congress passes a bill that a president signs or vetoes and it gets overridden, an executive order can be overridden by an act of Congress. And so it's like, obviously, if they want to bring it in through train, they're going to establish those right-of-ways or shrink the size of the monument, whatever the case may be. And so you sit there and go, this was, you know, like many things are in Washington these days, this was politically motivated as a thing, I think, mainly for Yucca Mountain. But whether it was or it wasn't, it's like there was no process. Yeah. You didn't talk to those people. And by the way, this is America, so whether it's wild horses or something else, it's like it's okay to talk about this. I may vote against it, but I sure as heck can't sit there and say, well, we should never talk about it. So when you change the designation on something the size of Rhode Island without a peep to the folks who actually have to deal with planning and zoning, economic development, police, fire, public safety, all that other sort of stuff, it's like, wow, that's incredibly no process. So, I mean, we've got some legislation that says, that tries to establish a process. You know, funny thing about being the chief executive, maybe it's kind of like being the chairman of the county commission. You know, process is a good thing until, you know, I mean, I can do this by myself. And it's like, well, yeah, you can, but can you be kind of responsible or transparent about it? And so when there's no transparency, regardless of what the party is, the person doing it, or there's no process, then you're just like, what the heck? So I can tell you that what I will do is I'm not sure where that's at. I was one of the co-sponsors, which, by the way, got me on somebody's list of 20 the most anti-Park 20 people in Congress. I mean, if I had feelings, they'd have been hurt. But anyhow, you know, you're sitting there going, really? We created 75,000 acres of wilderness in the same bill that you guys got some of your stuff squared away in? And it's like, you know, our stuff on Sagetain is like, we're not saying let them graze it to death or mine it to death. But, you know, at the same time that 6 to 7 million acres of ground have burned in the last 2 decades, district managers and district rangers for BLM and Forest Service have permitted 150,000 acres of mining. And that doesn't mean that they shouldn't comply with and be responsible stewards of the resource and reclamation and all the stuff that you know from the resurgence going on south of here. But it's like, really, 150,000 acres, 7 million acres. What do you think's threatening the chickens?
Yeah, right.
You know? Sheep, there's only like 20% of sheep left because the Australians have figured out how to raise them, process them, flash freeze them, and ship them over here cheaper than our folks, as steel, the folks out east of town, borders down south. It's like, I still can't figure out how that's happened. Cows are down 20%. So it's like, listen, the pressure on the range from range livestock agribusiness is down, quite frankly. I mean, the drought, stuff like that. So we've met the enemy for range health in Nevada, and quite frankly, it's wildland fire. And so you say, well, we can't do that. God does that, the lightning bit. It's like you can still manage fuels. You know which direction the wind blows most of the time. You know what to do that works for starting the restoration process. Even sagebrush doesn't grow back in a year. I mean, it's about a 30-year process even for that. If you're in the trees, it's a 100-year process, but you've got to start it. And so to ignore all that stuff, which, I mean, I'm not a real complex thinker, but I know that 6.5 million acres is a hell of a lot bigger number than 150,000. So if we really want to put our bang where our buck is on the resource, there you go. And I think that stuff happens better, whether it's monuments. And I'll tell you, I think there's going to be more monuments before the end of the year.
Yeah,
in Nevada.
Yeah.
Because with any administration, you get to the end and there's some of that. You know, this isn't really in the bailiwick, but it's like there'll probably be some pardons for some people. And so anyhow, it'll be an interesting run. But we're with you. So I think we've stayed pretty close to NACO in terms of making sure we're on the same sheet of music for the Sachin litigation.
Right.
Oh, which, by the way, Bishop's language is in the National Defense Authorization Bill, again, that basically says state plans control. And if there's a doubt whether the plans are overlapping or not, it's the governor of the state that gets to make that call. And so that'll go through the House again. The fight was in the Senate between Senator McCain and Rob Bishop, who's our natural resources chair over there. If you believe Rob, and Rob's an interesting guy, but I think he also is in this habit of telling the truth, he thinks that Senator McCain turned around on him because they had a deal to do it for 2 years, and it came out over in the Senate. And so we'll see if they've kissed and made up or whatever the heck. But defense authorization will be on the floor of the House, I think, in 2 weeks. So, and people say, well, what the heck's it doing in the defense authorization? And actually, some group did an ad in one of the papers back there that was pretty clever. It had a picture of a Sachin strutting on half of the page, and on the other half it had like an F-18 firing missiles. And it goes, what does one have to do with the other? I go, that's a pretty funny ad. I like that ad. But I think the answer to that was, when we processed the Northern Nevada Economic Development Bill that had a piece for you guys in there, so it goes through the Public Lands Subcommittee, the Natural Resources Committee as a whole, goes to the House, gets voted out as that, and goes over to the Senate, and there was nothing going on in the Natural Resources Committee over there. And so it got put into something that was moving, which was National Defense Authorization. And so I guess my straight-up answer is, I don't know that there is really a hell of a lot to do with chickens and fighters and troops and that, but that was what was moving. They put it in over there in the Senate, and so, although I told somebody the other day, I said, you know what, I'll ask Bishop, but I'm thinking that the reason he put it in there is because it was something that was moving. And so they'll tell you with a straight face that it has effects on ranges, and it does, but it's like, should it be in the... Nope, but there's other stuff in the NDAA that's seen, I guess, politically as something that has to move because you have troops in the field, and the last thing you want to do is say, hey, by the way, while you're getting shot at over there, we promise we'll catch you up on that pay later, but tell your folks back in the States that you're not getting a paycheck this month for their... Which takes you down another road, but you guys don't want to hear that editorial, so... Anything else?
Anyone else? Last chance. Okay, Congressman?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much.
I did want to disclose one thing. When I pulled up and I saw that, it's a GMC, like Suburban or something. It's kind of a color that must have been on sale, because I think it's the only one I've ever seen that color. And I thought, well, Jesus, you know, this, I've never really been able to park at the curb before. I don't know if it's still there. It might be towed by now. But so I pulled up, and I didn't want to, like, so I backed up as close so I could leave some space in front of me. And let me know how much it costs to fix that stuff on the front end. I'll be happy to get that done at a place in Mound House. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Congressman.
Hey, congratulations on your award. I'll give them a good call. Okay.
Thanks.
See you, baby. That's
right. Well, the government class couldn't have gotten a better lesson than that today.
Yep.
Yeah. That was great. Okay. Moving along now, as we like to do, we're going to move along now to item number 13. This is discussion only. Story County's federal lobbyist and U.S. Congressman, Nevada retired, Honorable John Porter, providing updates on federal matters of interest in general specific to Story County. Now, as John is no stranger to politics, he's a longtime resident of Boulder City, Nevada, sat on the city council for 10 years, is the mayor for 4 years. I think he did 4 years in the state Senate, 3 terms in Congress, representing the 3rd Congressional District of Southern Nevada. Pat and I, when I was making fun of Congressman Amade, when we went back to testify on this Lance bill, we actually met Congressman Porter in the halls waiting for the hearing that day. And we formed a partnership and a friendship with the congressman. And he's an expert in his field of trying to iron through the bureaucratic BS of Washington. And it's a pleasure to have him here today. We've talked about him many times in this room, and now we're putting a face to the name. And he's gonna brief us on who he is, what he does, and what he's got in store for Story County and its residents. So, Congressman, thank you.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for the warm introduction. It's very difficult to follow Congressman Amade, especially since he took all my material. I'd like to take credit for all those things that he's accomplished on behalf of Story County, but that would not be fair or correct. But truly, it's an honor to be here, honor to represent the county, and I appreciate, Mr. Chairman, your introduction. As a member of the State Senate for just about 8 years, I used to spend a lot of time here. Gold Hill, I mean, I can tell you some, no, maybe I shouldn't tell you some stories, but please understand that although I was a Southern Nevada elected official, as a state senator, I represented the whole state, and represented Story County, and then as a member of the U.S. Congress, also includes the full state of Nevada and the rest of the country as well. But I always try to make it a very, very important part of my career to represent Nevada. So, having the honor to serve Story County is an extension of public service. And to the staff that's here that was at our meeting earlier this morning, which I'm going to talk about all of you here in a moment, my apologies, but to walk through a little bit of this. But my goal is to help Mr. Amade. My goal is to help Senator Reed. My goal is to help Senator Heller. My goal is to help the full Nevada delegation, and I feel like I haven't left office because as a public servant, as we mentioned this morning, once a public servant, always a public servant. So, again, my goal is to make it easier for Mr. Amade and his staff by doing a lot of the groundwork. As a member of Congress, you know, they deal with thousands of issues literally in a day. And I know from a county perspective, you too deal with thousands of issues every day. But my role is to make sure the Nevada delegation doesn't move through a day without hearing about Story County. And that's my job. And again, for a member of Congress and their staff, normally their district office or offices specialize in taking care of constituents, healthcare issues, Social Security, veterans issues. Policy really is driven in the offices in Washington, D.C. So, again, part of my role is to make sure that, one, I'm as familiar as possible with your issues, because as an elected official or as a staff person or in business, it's difficult to just show up and work on, let's say that an issue like the zip code, we'll use the zip code as an example, is an A to Z issue. Well, a lot of times, members of Congress or even consultants or lobbyists look at D&E of that whole issue, and they don't see the whole picture. So what we try to do is learn as much as we can as an elected, but also as your consultant lobbyist to understand. So this morning was really important. We spent about 90 minutes, for those that weren't there, spent about 90 minutes walking through specific issues that each of your department heads,
are responsible for, and how that interacts with what we're trying to do in Washington, D.C. And I certainly could embarrass everyone that's here, but from your special events, from your budget, I know Hugh this morning did a great job. Gary did a great job with the fire department. And thank you, it's an honor to meet you as the DA. Of course, again, we could pick on Austin. I'll say that for a little bit. The dean of the building department, Sherry of Communications, thank you for your update. Mr. Ballard, of course. Mike Nevin, and we talked about some of the water challenges and issues and what a great place we are today with water, but with that comes fire sometime through the coming year. And, of course, listening to your assessor talk about some of your challenges before the Nevada legislature, and there's a number of other folks. We had about 15 of your staff that gave presentations this morning. A number of those issues really overlap with what we do in the federal government. But my role as your consultant lobbyist is to try to help bridge local, county, state, federal, economic development, travel and tourism, and provide some perspective. So there are a lot of good people out there that represent cities and counties and communities. But what we try to do, and I'm very proud of what we do, is we try to look at all levels of government and how that fits into the picture. Again, whether it's zip code, what does that mean? What does it mean to Washoe? What does it mean to the cities of Sparks and Reno? What does it mean to the other adjacent counties? And what does that mean to a business person? As a business owner myself for 20-some years, what does it mean? So that's a little bit about our background. Again, local government and business, we have staff. There's four of us representing the county. There is not a day or two that goes by that we're not communicating directly with your county staff in some shape or form. I think Austin gets tired of hearing from us. But there's not a day at least every 2 days we don't communicate with the staff. But more importantly, our office is right across the street from the Capitol, which means we're right adjacent to Mr. Amity's office. I mean, if I were a baseball player and I could throw a ball very far, I could hit his office from our office. Same with the rest of the Nevada delegation. We are situated in a location intentionally to be able to constantly be in contact with the Nevada delegation. Now, we also are very, very cognizant of turf, okay? And there is turf within congressional offices. And it also means that sometimes if one member of Congress started working on a project, the other one may say, well, you know, I don't want to duplicate efforts. You know, I don't want to get in the way of the other member. But we try very hard to bridge between the full delegation. You have a seat as a county at the table with every member of the Nevada delegation. They know who you are. They want to know what's going on, and that's because your staff and your manager and your team has made it a priority to get to know every member of Congress. Again, back to the balance, you have turf, and we want to make sure that if we're working with Mark, who's the primary member of Congress, but then we go ask Congresswoman Titus or another member of Congress or Senator Heller or Senator Reid, that we're not getting in the way, but what we try to do as the county, representing the county and with your team that visits not often enough, by the way, we wish you could come back more, we keep the delegation informed as quickly as possible. We have joint meetings with the members of Congress, which is unusual, by the way. We bring in their staff collectively and work with them. So, again, our role is not just to talk about D and E of the alphabet. When we sit down and talk to elected officials, whether it's Chairman Bishop from Utah or Chairman Shimkus from Illinois, they know who Story County is. Now, why does that matter? Mark, again, one of my better friends, and he's doing a phenomenal job. He serves as an appropriator, which is one of the most important positions in Washington. But we also know that there are higher-ups in Congress that make decisions based upon influence from your member of Congress. So again, we'll work with Mark, but we'll also work with his chairman. We'll work with the chairman's staff. We'll work with other members of Congress around our region to make sure we can get things accomplished. So
I'd like to say it's rocket science. It's really not. It's all about relationships. It's all about, you know, educating, repeating, and making sure they know who you are. So that's kind of an overview of how we do things. We are unique in our consulting approach. Most lobbyists and consultants work only with their state delegation. That's easy. And by the way, if we were just working with Nevada delegation, I could probably give you the guidelines and you could do it. Not, of course, we're there every day. But we work beyond Nevada borders. We work with chairmen of committees around the country that are making decisions. So whether it's I-11, Transportation Chairman Schuster knows about I-11. He's from Pennsylvania. He comes to Nevada frequently. He knows who we are. We talk about energy and Yucca Mountain, per se, which I'm going to get into more in a moment. The chairman from Illinois knows who we are because we go beyond the Nevada delegation to try to help you. So that's a little bit about the process. Again, it was great to be able to spend time this morning and know that we're a resource for any of your staff folks. But I'd like to now just take a moment and talk about some the political aspects of where we are in the country today and in Nevada, and then talk about some of the issues that Mark covered extremely well because he's the guy. But I want to give you some of the backstory maybe on some of those key issues that are important to you. First, I said this morning at 7:30 before a cup of coffee, this presidential race, I'm sorry, I can't give you any advice. I have no clue. I think it's a real wake-up call to Washington that people are unhappy, that people are struggling, and people want things to be better, and they want more transparency. I think that, I hope to turn off the television until November. You know, life would be better if we turned it off. But the presidential race, one thing it's I think telling a lot of people that we need to do things different as elected officials and across the country. That aside, again, bear with me to your staff. Campaigning is actually better today than it was 200 years ago, and not to bore you with too much history, but Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and the founding fathers really didn't get along. And they really didn't see each other very often. Imagine back then, look where we are. Imagine how things were here 150 years ago. They really didn't get along. As a matter of fact, they didn't like each other. And Thomas Jefferson was one of the ugliest campaigners in the history of America. He used to just abuse all of his opponents, and a number of those were founding fathers. He, of course, pre-emails, pre-tweets, pre-Facebook, he created newspapers all over the colonies with fictitious names, with fictitious reporters, to just trash his opponents. Now, why do I tell you that story, guy? I mean, every time that I walk in, and honored to walk into the U.S. Capitol, and whenever I'm with your team in the U.S. Capitol, we always stop for a moment and go, you know, we're pretty blessed. We're the best country in the world, in spite of all of our blemishes. And my point is, and then I'll leave the presidential race, it's going to be okay. Whatever it is, we're going to make it work. And we're going to make it work for Story County. What's really important, and make sure you vote, because a lot of people don't, critical for the country today is races happening here in Nevada. The Senate race, the U.S. Senate race to replace Senator Reid, who, by the way, has also done a tremendous job for the county of Story. And to take partisan stuff aside for a moment, there's some good things and bad things that, you know, you can agree or disagree. But I got to tell you, as far as an office, Senator Reid has done a phenomenal job in helping us with all these issues that we talked about today. But his race is on the radar. That race with Congressman Joe Heck, former current member of Congress, a very close friend of mine. Catherine Mastros Cortez, also a very good friend of mine, which makes it very difficult for me, but they're both good people. That race is critical to the country. That race could change the makeup of the U.S. Senate. So there's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars is going to be spent. You haven't seen anything yet. That race is going to break all the records for campaigning. Another race that is one of the top races in the country is in Nevada, and that's We have Congressman Hardy from Mesquite, so it's kind of the upper valleys of southern Nevada. He, too, is probably in the top five most contested races in the country. You have Mark, who will be governor or U.S. senator or whatever he wants to be. Mark is in a safe seat. We have Congresswoman Titus in southern Nevada that's in a safe seat. And then there's another open seat. So Nevada is really in the spotlight of the campaign season, although all you've seen really so far is presidential stuff. But look out. And why is this important? Because who's elected in the Nevada delegation, congressionally or in the U.S. Senate, matters to Story County. It's important. And what we try to do as well, we interact with the candidates on both sides of the aisle. I was a city councilman for a decade, my most difficult job. Thank you for your service to the local community. But we have to know how to count votes to get support for Story County. So we work with candidates that are running for federal office so they know who you are. We work with members so they know who you are. Now, as far as state politics, and again, I don't claim to be an expert on all the races, but what we try to provide, as I mentioned, is perspective on moving forward with your legislation on the state level if possible. So that's kind of an overview of who we are, of the political situation. Again, Mark is just doing a tremendous job. He's a fighter. Dean Heller has done a great job of helping us. But watch closely the race going into the fall. Now, issue-wise, this is where it's difficult because Mark knows his stuff, and he covered those issues really well. But let me just give you a little backline. Now, I was able to talk to Gary today to possibly help with your cable situation. We have some possible options that, Pat, you weren't in the room at the time, but I'm going to work with Gary to try to help with the cable. The public lands issue, Mark really did a great job of explaining what happened with the monuments, Commissioner Jack. But on the other side of the public lands, Washoe County now is looking closely at some possible land act. Now, every county is looking at public lands, as is every city in some shape or form. But we're working closely with, of course, Story, but also Washoe County with RTC and with the airport, because all this is intertwined. I don't expect there will be a lands bill unless it shows up in the final hours sometime in December. But we're working closely with your regional area, which brings up what's called the Shared Federal Framework, which we organized and had a great involvement by the county here, where we brought together just a little over 2 years ago most every, if not every, government in northwestern Nevada, where we sat down and we prioritized all the issues, whether they were in Carson or Douglas or Story or Washoe, Reno, Sparks, and I know I'm going to miss a few. But we spent months and months and months fine-tuning a message to Congress that talked about the regional issues, because as I was briefed this morning, your service area is huge, far bigger than your population. Your service area is huge, from fire and rescue to the police, sheriff. So it was really pretty historic that over about a year's period of time, we brought together all the local governments, and we put together a very concise presentation to all the members of Congress and from Nevada. So we're going to start that process again, working together with all the entities, and public lands will be a priority. Zip code, again, Mark has been great. Mr. Heller's office has been great. Senator Reed's been great. But we are looking at a lot of different options. And one, of course, is a zip code. And I'll just walk you through based upon the time that I have left. At the will of the commission, we've created new zip code areas around the country, and specifically in Nevada, in Las Vegas. Of course, it's been a few years, but they were based upon a new bank that wanted to open in Nevada 20 some years ago. It was also a Citibank credit card processing facility. They didn't want a Las Vegas address. We should have had them come to Story at the time. But we created a new zip code. There are new zip codes that have been created on the resort corridor. But what we're also learning is if we move a million miles an hour to fix the zip code and we aren't successful, there is a 10-year cooling off period. We can't ask again. So what we've been doing is been working with the delegation and their staff, you know, making sure we answer all the questions. Former Nevada Congressman Jim Bilbray, some may remember the name, Congressman Bilbray is still in Nevada. And he is the he sits on the postal board, U.S. Post Office Board, appointed by Congress. There's only one member of that board right now. It's Mr. Bilbray. Because of politics, Congress and Senate hasn't selected more people to serve on the committee. But I bring it up in that we're working closely with former Congressman Bilbray. He too is, you know, helping us walk through, make sure when we finally ask for a resolution from the county, as Mark mentioned, everything is lined up. Because if we fail, we've got to wait 10 years. Now, having said that, we're working with the county, with Nevada. The governor's office is very much in tune and very willing to assist in any way possible. As the congressman this morning mentioned, Pitney Bowes is involved. But there's also now a third approach that we're using, and that's to also possibly expand the boundaries. So we have three approaches right now. One is one is through the U.S. Post Office system. Another one is legislatively. The third one is through the Nevada legislature and the governor's office, and the fourth one is to try to even expand the boundary. So we're involved, and we're going to find a solution to this, Pat, right?
Yes, sir.
Trying all avenues. Next, I-11 is really important, and Mark did a yeoman's job of laying out the politics and the lands process. I-11 expanding to northwestern Nevada is a win for northwestern Nevada, wherever it goes. Now, we're certainly going to have plenty of meetings and opportunities to voice where that corridor should go, where it should connect in the USA Parkway, right, or wherever. But I will tell you, it is so important to this part of the state and to this part of the country. It's imperative that Story County continue to be a part of that conversation, because our biggest concern is, and I've been working on I-11 into the Southern Nevada piece for almost a decade, and literally I-11 designation for Southern Nevada was eliminated just 4 years ago over politics. Then Chairman John Mica from Florida of the Transportation Commission was upset with our Nevada delegation over some high-level RD arguments. So the chairman from Florida removed I-11 from the highway, the transportation bill. And literally it was over a personality problem. Well, we were able to get it fixed. I called the chairman up and said, Mr. Mica, please, we really need this. And he eventually put it back in. I only tell you this story is that there's been a lot of pressure to bring it to Southern Nevada. And it's been a concerted effort. It's been a regional effort. It's been a Arizona and a Nevada effort. You really need to have that same thing moving forward to bring it up here with Idaho and with the rest of the governments in the Northwest. Yucca Mountain, I really gambled when I ran for office. That's the most I gambled. I figured that was enough. But if I were like a gambling person, I would say Yucca Mountain's going to happen. And I'll tell you why. Senator Reid has done a yeoman's job as well. We can talk about the great things Nevada has done to fight it, good, bad, or the ugly side of fighting it. Senator Reid has been successful working with the White House to prevent it from happening. There are, I would guess, 435 members of Congress, 100 members of the U.S. Senate. I would guess that there would be 360 votes for Yucca to move forward if there was an opportunity in the House. I would say there would be almost 70 votes in the U.S. Senate if there was an opportunity to vote on it. And as the congressman said, these members around the country, I can't remember, there's 33 states with nuclear energy. I'm sorry, I'm not exactly sure on that number. something is going to happen. Something is going to happen as far as starting the conversation before. And by the way, it's never gone away, the conversation. But when there's a new president and when Senator Reid retires in January, you're going to see a lot of activity, and you need to be at the table for those conversations. Whatever you want to do, you're for it or against it, you decide. But you still really, as a county, need to be a part of that conversation. Because it's going to start, and it's going to be big, and it sounds like somebody running for president, but it's going to be a high priority for Nevada. So keep an eye on Yucca Mountain. I think from issue-wise, because we talked about the public lands, the zip code, I-11, the regional work with the shared federal framework, Yucca Mountain, we talked about a little bit about the races that are going to impact Story County. So with that, there are a number of other things we're working on, but I also would like to leave it open for questions or ideas that you may have while I'm here today, and for the audience as well.
Great. All right. Congressman Porter will take questions. Anyone in the audience have a question for Congressman? Tough crowd today. Commissioners?
What county is Yucca Mountain in? Is that in Nye? Nye County?
Well, there was a county called Bullfrog County.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you if you were in the Senate when they...
No, but I remember. So, then Governor Bryan. Well, there was an era of Yucca Mountain when everyone was for it, and then everyone was against it, and we'll save all that editorial for some other time. But back when it started, Governor Bryan created a county called Bullfrog County. And that was, of course, now Nye, but that was to capture all the revenues into one county. It was more of a mathematical issue than taxation collections, but it is in Nye.
So if it was to go through, would Nye County be the beneficiary of the taxes or income generated by that?
I would say it's only going to be what the state wants to have happen. Again, there are a lot of elected officials that don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I encourage that you talk about it. So there will be debate. Who owns the land? Is it, as Mark said, who owns the right-of-way to I-11? So all that is to be determined. But what the congressman was talking about is, and he may have even glossed over it, but if there are ways that the federal government helps Nevada because of Yucca Mountain, it could be in the UNR, it could be DRI, it could be UNLV, it could be hospitals, it could be veterans. It's kind of whatever the state would choose to do with it.
Any other questions? None?
I don't have a question. I wanted to backtrack and ask a question about the zip coverage. On your option 4, you said you used the word expand coverage. Are you talking expanding our 89440
correct
zip code?
Yes.
Make it countywide, basically?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. It's, again, very controversial to create a new zip code. One, the postal system's in disarray. I mean, they have serious problems. Anyway. Bless the people that, you know, the postmaster and all the staff and employees that are working very hard. But the system is trying to figure out what it's going to be with all this technology, you know. So there are parameters, but we have to make sure if we do it, we don't mess it up because it'll be 10 years.
Right.
Again, we're trying to fix it through the state. But we also think, because there is provisions for expanding boundaries, that may be our best avenue, with the exception of working with the state of Nevada.
Okay. Any other questions for the congressman? Okay. I know you have to catch a plane.
Thank you.
Congressman Porter, it's a pleasure having you here today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
An honor for me. Thank you very much. And look forward to seeing you back in D.C.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
With that said, why don't we take about a 10-minute recess, okay?
That will allow us to exit.